What is Qigong and how can it help you have a confident and calm life, as the title of this podcast proclaims? You will find the answers in this podcast series with host, the confidence coach, Susan Axelrod, and co-host, Nadine Searle, the calmer self coach. Qigong is an ancient Chinese practice of mindfulness, but it's so much more. Called internal medicine, it is said that using the practice of Qigong can create an elixir within. Could this be true? In this podcast series, this truth will be explored by two practitioners, one former type A and one former self-professed people pleaser. Dr. Roger Yonka calls Qigong one of the most eloquent, poetic, and effective tools in our quest for personal breakthrough and peace of mind. Your podcast hosts, Susan and Nadine, agree. Qigong can be a new tool in your personal health practice kit. Join them for this conversation that may just change your life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to part two of this very important podcast episode on grief and loss. I am, it's hard to say delighted or happy to be discussing this with you today, but I do feel gratified that my work has led me to this place to be able to have a platform to share absolutely vital conversation with you today. My dear friend and colleague and co-host Nadine Searle, the Calmer Self Coach, is here with me to have this discussion. Hello, Nadine.
Hello, Susan. I'm with you on that. It's not right to say I'm excited to be here, but I'm very honored to be here. And I really feel that it's so important to be talking this way, isn't it? So that people can join in this conversation and feel that they have permission to speak the way that we're doing. So it's really important. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love permission. And I also do love permission to be excited. In our episode in the first half of this podcast, we did talk a little bit about that it's okay to experience joy.
Yes.
Our thesis that we are sharing is pretty much feeling, voicing out what's on your heart and in your mind, allowing yourself to feel the feelings. I full on cried in the last episode. It probably will come up again. And really having permission. You know, Nadine, in the day, really not that long ago, the word cancer was called the C word. You know, you weren't allowed, right? You weren't allowed to talk about cancer. Someone got sick and it wasn't talked about.
No, you're right. Yeah.
We can say the same thing about addiction. Alcohol addiction.
Yes.
People were deep in addiction, and everyone around them, connected to them, was in deep grief and loss, but yet we didn't talk about it. We just stuffed it down, right?
Oh, yes. You're so right. And I'm getting that feeling as you're saying that. I've shared this with you, but I want to share it with everyone, actually. I used to drink quite a lot. I still have a drink. I'm confessing to that. Someone actually said I was an alcoholic. And I went, what? It was the word. You don't say it out loud, do you? It's not one of those things that you say. And actually, it really hit me, but it made me think, made me question. It made me really think. I couldn't argue with it. I did at the time. My reaction wasn't the best. But it is like you say, saying the words. And while you're mentioning that, I really feel, I say, someone has died. I say they died. I don't say passed over or we lost them or whatever. I say the word. Sometimes people aren't comfortable with that. But for me, that is the word I want to use. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, finding our own way. You said in the last episode, you know, it's different for everybody. And it really is, isn't it? And I think when we're talking to young children about loss, death, you know, if we say, oh, Nanny went to sleep or something, you know, the mixed messages, you know, sometimes we do have to be clear, you know, and say a word that we're not so comfortable with, like you said, cancer, you know, that never used to be said, did it?
Right.
Alcoholism, death, you know, let's give everyone permission to say whatever word feels right for them. There's no right or wrong, is there?
Well, first of all, this is like so much. So, It's just so I want to say that my husband, I lost my husband a few months ago, and I myself have been in acute grief and loss, although I have not become debilitated by it because of my own tools, which include sometimes sitting alone and allowing this big crying to come up. Yeah. But one of the things, I'll never forget the story he told me early on in his career as a psychologist. There was a three-year-old girl, a sister, in his office. And the family was kind of talking about the older sister problems. And the little girl, my husband suddenly became aware that she had picked up the phone and she was talking to her daddy on the phone. And her father had died and no one had ever spoken to her. All she knew was that he was gone one day.
Yeah,
and he had to mitigate that. You know, she was having a conversation with daddy on the phone because she didn't know, you know, that he was gone.
Yes.
And then, so this is exactly the kind of things that happened. I could feel the energy among our listeners. I could feel the energy out there, Nadine, of people actually saying to themselves right now, my gosh, I remember when I was six, that did happen with my grandmother or something like that.
Yes, I'm getting those memories exactly like you're saying. I remember what happened, the secrets around death when I was a little child, you know, and made me, if I'd have been told the truth, it would have been much easier for me to cope with than having those secrets that were done to protect me, you know, not putting any blame here, but actually, you know, and the things that carried on for a long time. I think if only I'd known at the time, however young I was, I could have handled it better. So again, and that we talked about it in the last episode of this, didn't we? The layers of grief. You know, I feel I lost my granddad when I was very young, my first one of my grandparents. I was very young. And it wasn't talked about. So what went on in my head was I was making all sorts of things up. Like you said, I didn't know where he'd gone. I'd blamed myself. There was lots of things going on. And actually, you know, it's something, again, just to consider how we talk to our children, how we share with other people, you know, what's happened, and not being frightened of the conversations. And that's something, again, this is why we're doing what we're doing, isn't it?
It is indeed. And this podcast is how Qigong can help you have a more confident and calm life. So, for example, when we're in that state of being that we're talking about, you know, sometimes it's feeling sad, it's feeling the unknown, it's feeling alone, it's lonely. Those are two different things. It's feeling maybe even resentment might come up about, you know, the things, especially in our last episode, we talked about that all loss is not from death, that there's true, real, significant loss when you lose something like a job, for some people, the cancer, the fear of cancer is about losing their hair. There's so many things along the way. I work with women, and now more men as well, in the second half of life. Everything changes. Everything is different. You lose, you know, that physical, you know, body that you had when you were 25, all these things.
I know.
So the feelings come up, and what happens is we get hijacked out of ourselves. So Qigong is one method, one practice where we can come back and center down. In the last episode, we talked about how the gentle movement of the hands up and down might support you. There's another form in Qigong that I learned where you do your breathing to come to center, right? If you're in grief, you're hijacked out of your center. You're in sadness. Not that there's anything wrong with that, Our job is to come back into our own skins, and the gathering of the energy from the earth above and down from the the sky above and the earth, right, coming down, and the earth below. This is something that when I'm out walking my dog down in the field, I just stand there and I do that. Yes. Gathering the energy from the sky above, the abundance of the sky, and bringing it down and having the energy come through your body. And the earth energy, the stable, sturdy, grounding energy from the earth below, you can bring it up all the way up through your center. And these are forms and movements, we call them body movements, to support when you begin to get hijacked out of your body, out of your mind, out of your skin by the emotions and feelings that come from grief and loss.
Yeah.
Maybe I would like to speak with you about your six-step process in grief and healing. I know that this is something that you've been pulling together, and I know I'm very familiar with your six-step calmer self method.
Yes.
And I know that it's all integrated. So I would love for you to share with us today what this is all about.
Thank you. I would love to share it too. Thank you so much. But before I do, can I just touch on the point that you said there? Because it's all connected, isn't it? This flow, this getting this flow back, this up and down breath, if you like, mindset, body, breath, you know, being in the moment. And like you said, the sky is always above us. The earth is always beneath us. There is comfort in that. If we just take a moment and tune in, like you said, I'm getting chills just as I'm saying it because it's so powerful, isn't it? To know that the earth always supports us. The sky is always there. I always say it's like a blanket, so it's comforting, you know, just to tune in. And again, that's really something that we can do whenever, like you said, I love that term, hijacked. Whenever we find ourselves in an emotional state that's just a little bit overwhelming, we can just tune in. Two things that are always there, the sky and the earth, our breath, our body, coming out of our head that sometimes can be frantic, just down into our body for a second is such a relief and such a comfort. So, and I know you teach Qigong. It's so beneficial, isn't it, to learn something really simple that can help you. And that's one thing, isn't it, that is
exactly.
So helpful.
That is, again, bringing in one of the basics, you know, of Qigong, which is part of what we're doing today. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I just had to go follow on with that. And can I just say one more thing before I talk about what I'm doing? I'm going to say another word that we never used to be allowed to say, menopause. We never used to be allowed to say it, did we? You work with women of a certain age, you know, so do I. I am a woman of a certain age.
Yeah.
But again, that's a loss. We're changing. You know, we've lost our youth. We've lost lots of things. Our hair changes, our skin changes. There's a lot of loss. There's a lot of, with me, a little bit of anger, you know, that kind of thing. And a little bit of shock, what's happening. So really, again, you know, stages of life where we have this loss and this feeling. And again, you know, we are in a world now where we can talk about it a bit more. Thank heavens for that, you know. So just wanted to say those two things before I forget, because I think they're important. I hope that they'll help people to know that, again, it's okay, isn't it? So yes, I am. My Karma Self Method, which is a six-step program, is hugely adaptable. I adapt it to whatever people need. And as you said in the last episode of this, that everyone's journey is individual, everyone's feelings are different. So I adapt what I do to what people need. You're the same in your business and how you support people, aren't you? You're intuitive and you go with the flow of what people need. And it is important to actually realize that the first thing we need is to actually recognize what's going on for ourselves, isn't it? To really feel. There is, people are probably familiar with, I don't know if you call it five steps or six, seven steps of grief. Are you familiar with that? It's almost like a, you know, these are the rules, if you like. And I'm not poo-pooing it, but it's a bit of, if I just say what they are and see if you agree with me. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And then if you want seven steps, there's hope and processing. Now, I'm not sure, that's not an order, that's not how it goes. And I know some people struggle with that, and that's fine because we're all different. But they are things to be recognized, aren't they? They are feelings that we might feel. And I think you said it earlier, you know, sometimes we might feel a bit of anger. We might feel cheated. We might feel betrayed. There's loss in so many ways, isn't there? You know, when someone has died or when something changes, you know, all of those feelings are valid and they might come up, and it's just knowing what to do, isn't it? So the first thing I teach every client that I have, everybody that I support, is recognizing whatever's coming up for you. That could be overwhelm. It could be, like you say, being hijacked, you know, recognize. I do teach people how to release. And one of the things that we do, we both do, is that movement, isn't it? That flow, because of being stuck when we're frightened and when we're uncertain, we get that flow going. But it is important, I feel, for everybody to be supported, to be held, to be helped, to know how to recognize what's going on for them, because that hijacking of the brain, we just go into total disarray, don't we? We don't know what's going on. So sometimes it is just like, you know, being in that, I know you provide it for people all the time, and so do I, that safe space where you can just go, you know, rant, rave, do whatever you need to do for a moment, knowing that you're in a safe space and it's okay. Sometimes that's what people need more than anything, isn't it? And then that recognition, the understanding begins to unravel, doesn't it? And we go, oh, I know what this is. Oh, I am angry and I've got every right to be, that kind of thing. You know, I'm sure people that are listening will really get what I'm saying here. So that is, I'm not going to say it's step one, two, because it's not, like I said, the five or seven steps. It's not that uniform. It can be jumbled about. So that is something we talked in our earlier episode sometimes about. You started off by saying about the joy that we can have in our day. You know, I teach people how to let go of the guilt around their emotions. And again, you know, sometimes people feel in sadness, they're not allowed to feel a bit of joy. They might catch themselves laughing at something maybe on the television and go, oh, I'm supposed to be sad. You know, we get stuck, don't we, again. So just teaching people that it's okay, letting go of guilt around whatever emotions come up. Again, what I mentioned earlier about anger, sometimes there's shame involved, you know. It's okay to feel these things, because again, people go, I'm not allowed to be cross, I'm supposed to be sad. You know, there's not a box to put our feelings in. It can be every emotion going all at the same time, can't it? You know, and I'm sure, you know, what you're going through at the moment, you probably have moments where you're getting all kinds of emotions mixed up together.
Yeah.
And that can be really confusing, can't it? But to recognize and give yourself, I'm going to say it again, give yourself permission to feel whatever's feeling, and it is okay. Let go of the guilt around it. It's letting go of that attachment, isn't it, to the, there's a saying, I'll come back to it, because there is a little saying that someone said to me that I thought was brilliant. I'll come back to it because I can't remember it at the moment. But really feeling that whatever you're feeling is okay, there is no right or wrong. So I've remembered what it is, the sayings. I'm a bit all over the place. Unhook the moral judgment from your feelings.
Yes, I like it.
That is, I'm going to say it again, unhook the moral judgment from your feelings. Because when someone said that to me, God, it hit me. And I went, oh, wow. You know,
that's a good one. I also do want to just acknowledge here what you said, the way you opened the last episode was that everyone is dealing with grief and loss. And I wasn't really so tuned into that before, because my other losses, my two parents and my two in-laws, within some years, you know, 1 year apart basically of each other, were more natural, in the natural order of things. I wasn't so tuned into that, but then losing my husband, tragically, a couple of months ago, I became more tuned into it. But one of the things that happens when you're in loss and grief is brain fog. So when you say that we're all experiencing, especially coming out of COVID, we didn't even really begin to touch on that, but coming out of COVID is absolutely, everybody is like, what happened, you know? And so, there isn't a person who isn't experiencing that over a bit now. Exactly. So you said recognizing emotions, how you feel. And then you also talked about letting go of guilt, you know, around your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because we hold that. And it's something I say a lot of the time. Like, let go of your shoulds. We should be doing this. That's why the steps of grief that I mentioned earlier, and I'm not putting them down at all, they're all valid, but some people try and follow a formula. This is what I should be doing now. I should be over it by now. I should be. Let that go. I would say your shoulds are on your shoulders. Let them go. Let it go. Because actually it really is, isn't it? We put ourselves in, we make rules, if you like, don't we? You know, sometimes we're carrying them down from our family and the way things have been in the past, but there are no rules. this is individual. We take as long as we take. You mentioned, you know, that what I call layered grief. You know, there's, it's not one person we're grieving when someone dies. We quite often, it reminds us of the other people we've lost. We've just had Christmas, haven't we? I know we don't, you know, this is not a timed thing, but at Christmas time, I feel tremendous loss.
Yeah.
You know, there's joy, but there's also loss, you know. So these things come up, don't they?
I think again that's, and again. I think that's an experience most people have.
Yes. Yeah. Who's missing, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So it is something, letting go of that guilt, knowing that you're on your own personal, it's individual, and you find your own way. Because we do, sometimes we try, we're so lost, we're trying to follow a pattern, aren't we? And we haven't got one. There is no pattern. I wish there was sometimes a little book that we could follow, but there isn't, is there? So, but again, this is where we both support people, isn't it? You do it your way with your beautiful, so many methods, you know, when you're Qigong and your confidence coaching and you're supporting women, you know, totally. And I do it with my calmer self method, calmness in grief, that kind of thing. We need to be a bit calm and confident, don't we, when we are actually struggling. So those things come into play as well. So it is as well, I help people, and you talked about it earlier, how to sit with those difficult emotions. Because again, it's something that I was guilty of. I never would let myself have those difficult emotions because I was terrified of them. I wouldn't let them come up. I pushed them down. That's, you know, like you said earlier, it's really unhealthy to be pushing things down and not voicing things out. But that's what I did. And it made me very ill, made me a little bit, you know, it mentally made me ill and physically made me ill. So this is a process that is very valuable to learn. And I know you do it as well with people that you support, how we sit with those emotions and being brave, learning how to be brave. And like you said earlier, recognizing that we go through loss all through our life gives us that confidence to know we can cope. And when you build that confidence, and I know you're big on the confidence coach, building confidence, when you've got that confidence, you are brave enough to go, okay, I'm hurting, I'm really hurting, but it is okay. And I know I can do something about it. That makes such a difference to life. And it's a skill that you can apply to lots of things. It's not just the grief.
Well, this third thing of sitting with difficult emotions is something that to have someone to sit with the difficult emotions with you is antithetical. It's antithetical to the aloneness, to the avoidance, to the denial. Honestly, having dealt with addiction, it being in what I call addiction relationship, honestly, I was in such denial and avoidance partly from being alone. And, you know, we're going to have to do another episode on that.
With
alcoholism and alcohol addiction, as, you know, you said it earlier as well. That's why I said, wow, this is a lot that we're getting into today. But sitting with the difficult emotions of, I could hardly look at you, Nadine. Like I'm, the energy is so big right now. I'm looking off because, you know, to have someone who can sit with the difficult emotions, even of the possibility of what might be that you just want to deny and avoid, I can't think of anything more important than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
It is. And I can see how that is really touching you at the moment. It's so important, isn't it? And when people learn how to do that, they are, you know, they've changed their life. It can be applied to everything. And it's so freeing. And I think as well, you're absolutely right. We hold that space for people. But my Karma Self method is called Karma Self because I teach people how to do it for themselves as well. They can then do it themselves. Yes, it's lovely to be held and supported, but the power comes from when you know you can take yourself through that process. And again, that helps with the feelings of being alone and loneliness, because actually you go, oh, I'm so alone and I'm so scared. And I know that feeling, really know that feeling. But when I go, actually, I know I can handle this. I feel strong. I feel confident. I feel brave. I don't feel so alone then. So again, it helps with the loneliness too, and that feeling of just being isolated, because within a loss, we do always feel, and again, you talked about it earlier, didn't you? We feel that no one else knows how we feel. And no one knows, everybody's experience is unique, but some people feel totally alone. And they're not, because there's always some level of comparison, isn't there? There's somebody that can share something with you. And it supports, doesn't it? It really is comforting, isn't it, to talk about things, even if it is a different experience.
Yeah. It does help. And knowing that being able to speak about it with someone, even yours and theirs, which may not be the same.
Yeah.
That happened to me recently. Someone else, it doesn't matter the details, but we both spoke about our circumstances and exceedingly deep losses, even though her person is alive and mine is dead. There was still the ability to, you know, voice it out and feel and experience.
Yeah. And there's unity in that, isn't there? And that's so helpful, isn't it? To know that there can be differences, but we still are connecting on that lovely level. And that, like, again, I'm going to say that anticipatory grief, that, you know, no one's not going through that. We're all scared of dying, aren't we? We're all scared of whatever's going to come in our life. And like you say, with COVID, you know, we had our world ripped away from us. We're in that uncertainty still, aren't we? So we've all got that going on to whatever degree, shock, trauma, whatever you want to call it. It's real, isn't it? We're living it every day. So, as I say, sitting with emotions is something that, you know, you can totally understand, you totally get that. I also help people with the process of what I call gentle questioning. Now, that quite often comes hand in hand with sitting with emotions, because as I give you a quick example, sometimes anger is there. I used to be very familiar with anger as an emotion. But when I actually questioned that, it wasn't anger. It was quite often fear. It was sadness, regret. You know, it wasn't as simple as I thought it was initially. I just used to rage, think that was it. But actually, once I sat with it, once I started to actually feel those feelings really, I found out there was more. So that gentle questioning process was so valuable for me, and it's something I love to share with other people too. So you just see, what is this really about? You know, because sometimes there is stuff that, again, we've pushed down deep. So if that can come up, that really is helpful.
So you shared with us candidly and remarkably that you drank more when you were younger. Somebody to the point that somebody else said to you, you're an alcoholic, which made you stop and think. And that often does go with that avoid, you know, the rage. You said I felt rage, and then I connected it back and I said, alcohol or other substance helped us suppress the rage, because you know it's not okay to, you know, go around in a rage. And then also the other feelings of you know, regret and aloneness and the other things that you talked about, you want to suppress those, and alcohol is used to do that. So the gentle, I love the word gentle in your gentle questioning phase. Because I've learned from our dear friend Cornelia Stephanie, who is an ascension guide and master, I've learned myself in my work with her about being more gentle with myself. And that's something that I was deep in the masculine energy of the doing and the succeeding and the achieving and the aspiring and, you know, all the things, which made me be maybe more in denial and avoidance, so that I could go and do what I wanted to do. But I wasn't gentle with myself to allow the, what we call the feminine energy to rise. That's what happens in your gentle questioning process, I imagine, is that people are allowed to have the
feminine energy rise,
that the nurturing and soft.
Yes. And it is, you're absolutely right. Being gentle with yourself, it's a cliche, but be kind to yourself. How many times do we hear that? Do we do it? You know, we don't know how to do it, do we? So learning how to do that, that lovely process of actually learning how we are, how we listen to ourselves, how we are kind to ourselves. Because again, people aren't normally taught that. Sometimes we don't know. And when we learn it, it is something that is so beneficial to put into practice in so many ways. I'm aware that, you know, our time is funny. We're talking so much. We definitely need another episode, don't we?
Let me say, I already, about 10 minutes ago, People who are not in our podcast world don't know what you and I are thinking, you know, in our heads, because we are expert podcasters. I'd like to continue if you have time, because I feel like this is so important. Do you have time? So another thing, in my old type A, when I used to run a meeting, I learned early in my career to call the question at, you know, shortly before the hour and say, does everybody have more time? I feel like that's what I'm doing. Do you?
It's have good. I do. So did you want to carry on?
Yes, I do want to carry on.
I'm more than happy, because I think, again, it's valuable, isn't it? We do. Like you say, we are trying to be professional, and we are. But I think this is so valuable to keep going.
Yes, because
it is, we're in that flow, and I think it's important. So thank you for that.
So we're talking about gentle questioning.
Yeah,
we're talking about listening to yourself. And that kind of goes with sitting with the difficult emotions. But this is a guided process that you offer.
Yeah, and it is, and again, it's something I teach people to do for themselves. So they've got that tool. You know, we create toolboxes for people, so they've got those tools. But it is very important, and you said it just now about allowing that feminine to come in. I was very much in a male world. I acted like, you know, that male energy was there because I felt I needed to, and I was good at it. I'm sure you were too, getting things done and being that way. So to learn how to be soft and gentle and let the feminine come out was hard for me. That's the honest truth. It was very hard. I also thought it was a little bit wrong. I thought it was a little bit weak. But actually, it's so powerful when it does come up. So allowing that to bubble up. And within my gentle questioning process, it is actually, again, another cliche, getting out of your own way so you allow things to come up. The gentle questioning process brings up things you don't expect. It brings up questions you don't know where they've come from. And you go, oh, but they're deep and they're meaningful. So it's actually just allowing. And it is that sitting in stillness, sitting in peace, just being quiet. And again, with your Qigong practice, we get centered, don't we? We get grounded. So again, that does sometimes, when I do my Qigong practice of the morning, takes me probably about 20 minutes. The things that come up, it's amazing. I don't know where they come from, but I know they're coming up for a reason. It's that kind of thing. So in movement, in that beautiful daily practice, and I'm sure you find it too.
I would say
one
of the biggest surprises, unexpected, when I started really practicing and learning the forms and learning the teaching of the forms, I would cry, Nadine.
Yes. I
would spontaneously be doing, you know, the forms, and I would feel tears running down my face.
Yeah.
We're talking about grief and loss here, and this gentle questioning process, listening to yourself, allows these other emotions to come up as well, the emotions of guilt, the emotions of regret, and to get out of your own way of self-suppressing.
Yes.
Self-suppressing, you know, you thought it was weak. You know, to break through our work with Qigong is, you know, we're breaking through the ties that bind us, and we're opening up. We're using body movement and breathing. So this is so important in grief processing. All the questions: how did this happen? You know, why did this happen?
The what ifs, isn't it? You know, oh, what if? And that's, again, you know, who doesn't go through that? I think everybody does, don't they? Whatever the situation. But I think you're right about that saying about the movement. And I think I shared it in an earlier episode here, that when I first started Qigong in a class setting, tears came. That movement opened things up in me almost instantly. And you know, in a room where I didn't know anyone, I felt a little bit self-conscious, but again, it's a practice, you know, when movement allows that to happen, and it's beneficial, isn't it? It's so important. And I always feel now, you know, if tears come, it's a good thing. It needed to happen, doesn't it? And again, maybe people have these old beliefs that, you know, mustn't cry. It was said to me when I was little, don't cry, you know, still said to me sometimes now. But, and people don't want people to cry. You know, I said earlier, didn't I, you know, emotions coming up, and sometimes we don't say what we want to say because we don't want to make people cry. But it's a good thing to let the emotions come out. So Qigong movement flows things flow. It's so good, isn't it, to find a way that we can actually get those movements and those feelings out.
Before when I started to cry, I think it was in our other episode, and you even acknowledged, you know, oh, I don't want to make you cry. I don't want to say something that makes you cry. But you and I, we are experienced in helping people, you know, sit with their own difficult emotions. And then also, the more that I emote, the more that I go through this process myself, I also can now sit, you know, lovingly, gently with someone else who has experienced grief and loss.
That's the important thing, I feel, isn't it? Because actually that is, you know, we are helping other people, both of us and so many people that we know are. And so to be much more comfortable, if you like, with our own emotions is valuable, isn't it? Because then we are in a better position to help other people in that way, you know. And if it is, and I don't know about you, Susan, but sometimes with clients, you know, tears come from me. I don't hold back because I know I'm professional and that everything, but sometimes, you know, you mentioned about, you know, when we lose a pet. You know, I remember a client coming to one day who was going through sadness with her dog. The tears came for me because I can so relate.
Of course.
And I didn't hold it back. I shared because, but again, to notice, and you were a perfect example of that. They don't last forever. They come, you settle, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I used to be scared of crying because I thought I'd never stop. That's not true.
That's an interesting point.
It is, isn't it? I'm sharing a lot today, aren't I? They're feeling that flow. Definitely more topics for discussion. But I really feel, you know, just to touch on the last two points, and I'm not saying we're jumping ahead, but that we can talk about them very quickly. Sleep. People don't sleep. When they're grieving, they're unsettled. For whatever reason, they don't sleep. They get exhausted. You talked earlier about the general exhaustion that the whole world is feeling at the moment. I work with so many people that are just desperate to get a good night's sleep. That's something that is so important for all of us, isn't it? And in grief, change, sadness and loss, we don't sleep so well. So again, helping, I have so many ways of helping people get a good night's sleep that I love to do that. And the other side of that is how we start our day. So not jumping ahead, you wanted to say something.
I just wanted to say, someone, a friend of mine just shared with me that when she was five or six or seven, she had shared a bedroom with her sister, and the sister was sent away for some reason, whatever the details, and it was never discussed with this little girl child. And she stopped, she said to me, I stopped sleeping at that time. And I said, like, what does that mean? Right? Clarifying question. What do you mean by that? And she remembers that she would lie in bed at night being awake, trying to sleep at that very young age, night after night after night. And I, now that this has been brought to my attention, of course, I myself have also worked with victims, children who were sexually abused, and or children with alcoholic fathers. I had one man, a client who remembers when he was two or three or four, that he would be terrified to go to the bathroom. And then he would, you know, be awake and not able to sleep. So this phase, this piece of this methodology that you've created about sleep is absolutely vital. I have someone close to me who just didn't sleep.
You know, there's so many reasons why we don't, and you've just described quite a few of them. You know, there's so many reasons why people have trouble sleeping, and it can go back to childhood trauma. It can, some things we don't even recognize. Again, that goes back to my first point, recognizing. You know, when I work with people around sleep, there's, it goes deep sometimes, it really does. I mean, I have tips and coping strategies that can work instantly, but sometimes it is from something in our past, and there's a very good reason, you know, why we're keeping ourselves awake, maybe, or we're scared of going to sleep. You know, we're talking about grief, we're talking about death. Some people are scared to go to sleep because they think they're going to die. You know, that's quite a big statement to say, but I've heard it so many times from people, you know, oh, I'm scared to go to sleep. You know, if something has happened in the night, you know, people can be scared, little children can be scared because of things. You know, I used to have lots of fears when I was a child about what's going to happen in the night because of stories I was told. Right. What happens in the night, in the dark, you know.
Right, the horror stories that are told.
Yeah, real fear. They're real fears when you're, well, they're real fears when you're an adult, aren't they? But they're real fears. Yeah. Not necessarily real stories, but real fears. So again, you're right, it's a big issue, sleep. But when people are grieving in loss, their patterns are changed, hasn't it? They are feeling that loss. They might have lost that person they sleep next to. You know, like you say, if it's a child, you know, they've lost a child, you know, that they've lost their comfort. They've lost what they hold on to dearly. Right. So sleep doesn't come. Sleep isn't there for them. It's not a luxury for them. So again, getting back into sleep again is so important, because when we're exhausted, all that fuzzy brain and everything is just on overdrive, isn't it? So if we can get that sleep, it's
especially in the grief, and you know, the millions and millions of people around the world who were lost to COVID. Yeah. There's millions of people who died from COVID, and there's how many millions of concentric circles of people who were close to each one of them. Yes. I have a friend who lost his brother. It's to COVID. It's been a few years now, but even now he's still dealing with the grief.
Yes.
And so this really is epidemic. So another thing that happens in this phase of this discussion about sleep is that people use alcohol to help them sleep. They think that they're, you know, or they use weed, you know, marijuana. We're learning more that marijuana use can actually lead to anxiety, not sleep.
Yeah, and that's not what people think, is it? They don't think that at all, but you're absolutely right. And consequently, the other thing is alcohol. It might help you go to sleep, but it doesn't help you sleep. It has the opposite effect, doesn't it? You know, you don't sleep. If I used to go to bed with alcohol in my system, which I did quite regularly, I never got any sleep. I was asleep, but I wasn't getting all the rejuvenation and the rest and what I needed. My brain wasn't doing what it needed. So consequently, it makes you tired, doesn't it? So these things that some all have a little top before you go to bed, it doesn't always work. There's other ways.
That sort of passing out from the alcohol, you know, that, you know, just like you said, it's really a stressor on the system in so many ways. And I want to call out, because we're just getting into all of it. My gosh, Nadine, I wanted to call out that, you know, there's this like mindlessness that you started out having one glass of wine and now you have to have two, or it was one scotch and now it's two. And you did it, you know, once a week or a few times a week, and now it's five or six or seven times a week. And when you're in grief, of course, you have all the excuses in the world. I'm so sad. I lost my husband. I lost this, you know, I'm suffering. And then, but some of the practices, it doesn't take very long for the bad practices and habits to really take hold. Yeah.
We don't realize, do we? I think you're absolutely right. Having said that, I would like to say that I don't say to anybody, you can't have a drink. I don't say to anyone, you can't have a joint if you want to. You know, I don't do that with anyone, because I wouldn't. But it is, again, it's recognizing, gentle questioning, sitting with your emotions. All of those things come into play. Yeah. Right. Because actually, you know, if you want a drink before you go to bed, think about it. Be conscious. I think you say conscious decisions, don't you, all the time? And, you know, I'm not saying you can't do that, but choosing, giving yourself the right to choose, knowing why, knowing what the emotions are all about, not using it because you're scared of your emotions. It's the conscious decisions and conscious making up your mind. Because, and I just want to say that, because some people go, oh, I can't drink, I can't do this. You know, I believe at certain points in time, we all need something. And sometimes it's okay to reach out to these things. You know, I'm not poo-pooing anyone that does, but it's just being aware, isn't it? And actually going, what is this really for? Again, questioning, you know, I'm using something. can I sit with this for a moment and actually just see what this is really about and maybe find another way? That's empowering. That's a different way of looking at things.
Absolutely. And that is 100% the first phase of my own methodology is coming to conscious awareness. And honestly, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that this conversation that you and I are having now is helping someone come to that consciousness, become aware, become, you know, consciously making a choice of, you know, I'm okay with this, I do this, or, oh my gosh, wait a second, I need to look at this. And you know, that's a part of this. Something just came up to me, and that is the excuses that we make to ourselves when we're in that grief. I'm going to park that. That's a very interesting idea. I want to park that though, because I want to move on to your last bit. But that's a big thing. The excuses that we make to ourselves.
So, like you say, there's more conversations to come, isn't there? This is definitely building up to more and more. There's so much, definitely. But you're right. The excuses we make, what we do, you know, and it's okay to do that. It's just recognizing when they are excuses, recognizing when you are avoiding something and you might not be ready to tackle it straight away. A lot of people I work with, especially in grief, it's a slow process, you know, don't you? You know, it's step by step. There's no rushing, there's no forcing, there's no plan. You just go through it, and you can take, you know, one step forward and two steps back. That happens quite often, doesn't it? You know, it's never over. I don't want to say that being pessimistic, but grief can hit you at any point in time. It's something I think you learn to live with rather than put it away. It doesn't go. I know for my feelings, you know, that grief layers up, and I can be hit with that feeling at any point in time. And sometimes it's something from such a long time ago, but it's still there and it's still real and it's still a feeling. But that, for me, that's okay. You know, the feelings, aren't they? Love, grief, they're so closely entwined, aren't they? So
they are indeed. So you went from sleep, and then the last idea was about waking up.
Yes, start your day in a positive way is what I say. Because again, it's actually, you know, to help people with my Karma Self method to start with, but also when they are navigating their way through a grief process, it's, you know, how do we get back into some kind of routine, maybe? What do we do? You know, again, that so many people say to me, and you might have experienced this yourself, I have, it's the first thing I think of when I wake up. It's the last thing I think of when I go to sleep. So having those ends, how we get a good night's sleep and how we wake up in the morning and how we start our day. And again, your Qigong practice is part of my positive morning routine. So it's something that we can, you know, a bit of movement, a bit of being mindful, like you said, the breath, the body, the movement, you know, it's so, so important, isn't it, to tune into you as we start our day. Because sometimes it will be the first thing you do when you wake up. That sadness and loss, it hits you straight away. You open your eyes and it's there. And that's really scary, isn't it? So again, just going, well, what can I do to slowly start to change that so that I can step into the day the way I want to? And again, that goes back to the letting go of guilt, so that we're allowing ourselves to do that. So all of my steps are intertwined, but that's life, isn't it? That's the way it goes. So again, just thinking, you know, how I'm going to start my day. It's crucial, isn't it? You probably have a morning routine, you know, that you do, that we need. I do. And it's helping people have that.
Having a dog that you do have to let out. Some people have the, you know, my dog is part of my morning routine, whether or not I want to get out of bed, whether or not anything is going on, I tend to his needs. So that gets me out of bed. You know, you indicated earlier that you do a 20-minute form of Qigong. And I want to say, of course, you know, a lot of people don't have 20 minutes. But I've learned myself that literally in 60 seconds, it can be done.
And, exactly. It doesn't have to take 20 minutes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I have also learned in my training that when you make your self-help and self-health the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health and well-being a priority, than if you replace some kind of mindfulness activity. It may be journaling, breathing, meditating, qigong or tai chi, speaking with a loved one, resting, anything, then with scrolling. When you replace your scrolling, your mindless scrolling, with mindful engagement in any of these ways, then it definitely will support a more confident and calm life. So Nadine knows that I always take notes.
I know, but you got loads.
So the thing that I would like to say about this is, you said that it's so personal. Both of our work is custom or bespoke, as you say. And that in this case, it's not six steps to improvement, because that would be indicating linear. And your work, as I've experienced it myself, is non-linear. Even when you're talking about these six phases, the six aspects that you look at in somebody's life, the six ways you work with them, that you've made reference, you've looped back with something.
It's the way it is.
It's all very, it's an integrated method. It's an integrated practice of a sort, recognizing your emotions, letting go of the guilt, sitting with difficult emotions. That's such a big one. Gentle questioning, sleep, looking at your sleep, and then starting your day in a positive way. These are, I know that this is all also integrated in your calmer self method. This is all part of what you do. In the end, your work is about helping someone live in their own calmer self. And I put my hands here. This is another thing from Qigong that I've learned, that you can actually put your hands on your heart brain, as it's called. You can breathe, you can think, you can feel, and it will support you. And I love how supportive all of this is, Nadine. This conversation, I mean, man, we covered it all. Death and dying, alcoholism, weed use, sleep problems, you know, sitting with the emotions. I wrote down, I just started listening.
I bet you have. I don't know how you do it. You write and you talk at the same time. You're brilliant.
Aloneness, resentment, regret, attachment, isolation, guilt. You know, we really just got it all in there.
But I think what is really important that people understand is that we can talk about this the way we do because we are going through it. We have been through it. This is our life. This is our experience. We're not just talking about it. We are living it, aren't we, both of us? And I think, you know, you help. You have a four-part methodology. You have lots of different systems and ways that you help people. And it's so brilliant. But it is because we know the value, because we have needed it ourselves. We've been through these things ourselves. We've learned for ourselves. And then our natural response to that is to share with other people, isn't it? We're both the same in that way. Whatever we learn that helps us, we want to share. So that, you know, I know I'm speaking for you, but I'm sure that you feel the same.
That's exactly right. I need to pull in my most recent book that was published a few months ago. And I'm pulling it in because the thesis of Dear Future Self, to the point that you just made, my books are all anthologies of articles that I have written over the course of a year's time. And so I am in deep processing of all that we're discussing. And my Dear Future Self thesis is this: Dear Future Self, I am doing every single thing in my power today to take care of you. This idea, and we'll just begin to close here, this idea of what it feels like to live with continuous debilitating grief inside your body, your system, your mind, your soul, wrapping around it. That's not how we want to live in the healthiest emotional way. And so these practices that we're sharing with you, this method that you shared with us is crazy. We're going to write, you know, we'll put it in the comments, is so helpful. And I just want to say thank you so much, Nadine, for this honest, real conversation. I love our conversations. This is what we're doing. This is what we're sharing with the world, to know that you can say these things out loud, what you've shared and what I've shared, and we'll still wake up in the morning.
Yes, exactly. I do. And thank you, Susan, because you help me share all this. You know, you give me confidence, you help me voice it out, so you give me all of that support. So thank you so much.
Oh, and this pleasure.
Conversation, you invited me to this, and I'm so grateful, because it's important, so important.
So tell our viewers and listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, I would like to invite people to go to my YouTube channel, Calm Myself. And your YouTube channel is it Susan Axelrod? Is that the title of it?
In the Confidence Zone.
There you go. I'm glad I asked, because people would look at the wrong thing. So we both have YouTube channels. All of these conversations will be on there, won't they? So they'll all be on there. And our past conversations, I think we're on episode 9 or 10, are we now, of the Confident Qigong for the Confident and Calm Life. There's so much in them. You can see from the way we talk, we cover a lot. So I would invite everybody to go to each of our YouTube channels, subscribe, it's free, you won't miss anything then, and see what's there, because there's so much valuable content in both of our YouTube channels, isn't there? So that's a good place for people to find resources, get to know us a bit more, because we always share, don't we? And get involved, ask questions,
Absolutely. And also, Nadine and I met through our good friend Cornelia Stephanie inside the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. And we both want to invite you to go to your Play Store, look up KS Media Group. There is a wonderful app that you will be able to find and download. You can register there. And inside this app, Nadine and I both share our podcasts. We share downloaded material. We share so much inspirational, motivational material to help you live a more confident and calm life. And we would love to have you join us there as well.
Yeah.
Nadine, as always, I am going to go shake it out a little bit myself now. Yes. This was so heavy, it was deep, but it was
so good. We need to move it.
Yeah, we need to move it and breathe and really, you know, have such gratitude that we found each other, that we have this platform, and that we can share with the world like this. I thank you.
So grateful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take good care.